Friends in Christ, hear once more these words of Scripture that we just heard today as our emphasis. We're in the letter that St. Paul wrote to the church in Rome, Romans chapter 7. And it really emphasizes kind of our daily struggle as people. He writes in verse 15, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. For I do not do, and I don't understand my own actions. I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." Isn't that the truth? We, as all people, realize we've been told time and time again the things God wants for us, what's good for our life, but what happens? We end up doing that stuff anyways, right? I think that's the greatest explanation of sin. We know what's right and wrong, but we want to do it anyways, right? Maybe think about it this way. We got some firecrackers or some bottle rockets for 4th of July. And there's a little warning label on there, don't cut the fuse. What do we end up doing? Young little Pastor Aaron was cutting fuses just so that they would launch a little quicker, or they had to run a little bit faster. We disobey the warnings, even though we know what's right and wrong. That's our issue that we have today, not just as Christians, but in our world. We deep down know what is good for us, what is right for the world, but we end up just doing what we want anyways. That's the heart of all of it. It's the heart of how we've been treating our health scare, our pandemic. We know what's right, what we should do, but we just want to do what we want to do. That's how people have been treating all the other stuff that's going on in the news. We know what's right, but we just want to do what we want to do. And what does that end up do for us? Where do we get when that happens? We end up just falling down in our mess and just crawling back. So today we hear once more that there is a better way. There is a way out from all this. We, like our title of today's message implies, we have a shoulder to bear our burdens. So let me read that phrase once more that is going to be so important to us today. Romans chapter 7. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Well, the answer is begging. It's one person and one person alone. We know it to be our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to think about that image. In our nation, we've talked about maybe standing on shoulders of giants. Our nation's been founded upon faithful men and women that have done all the hard work before us, that we have a privilege today that we have had men and women that fought for freedoms to live in this nation, to freely practice our religion, so that we don't have to worry about doing all that work. It's as if we're on their shoulders. But I'm here today to tell you that we're on even greater shoulders. I want to read to you this passage from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You see, that issue, that problem of sin, that we end up doing what we know isn't right, it leads us to this gospel message. Romans 7 begs Matthew 11 here. Our reading paints a picture of us as like wild horses that don't follow our bridle, and we do things we know we shouldn't do. When we're supposed to be pulling the cart, we end up going off. And Matthew, this reading, tells us that we are yoked not to ourselves, not to our country, but are yoked to Christ. We're not yoked to sin, even if we don't do the things we want to. Now, that image is a little bit hard to explain, too. A yoke. What's a yoke? What do you guys think? Anybody want to raise their hand? What's a yoke? Anybody? It's not the orange stuff you find in an egg. That's an egg yolk. That's a different spelling. A yolk is something that you... Yeah. What was that? It's something you put around the neck of a horse or oxen. Why would they do that? So they can control how the animal moves and how they can pull a cart behind them. Jesus says to take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am gentle. We have a guide, a leader in life that isn't going to be whipping us into shape, but will be patient and kind with us when we want to veer our ways as wild horses, as independent, free people. God will always bring us and allow us back gently to where we need to be. And in fact, that word yoke reminds even me as a pastor what I am destined for. That's why we wear these stoles. They call them a stole. They change with all the colors of the year. This is the yoke that God puts on a pastor. That's why we wear these things, to remind us that we are yoked to Christ, that we are to speak his words and his words alone. But guess what? You also, even though you aren't wearing a liturgical garb like this, you are all yoked to Christ. You have that placed upon your shoulders, and what we just witnessed today. God put this yoke, this promise of baptism upon your shoulders. That whenever you've veered off course, whenever the world has made you kind of change as a person, you can always go back to this day. You can always go back to the day that God claimed you as his own. But right now, talking about this, I'm thinking about how our Lord is placing our whole country, not just us as individuals, but how our Lord is placing our whole country on his shoulders. When God tells us that he is bearing our burdens like he has in Scripture, it's not just about us bringing the burden of maybe trying to pass a test. It's not just us placing a burden of trying to get a job or trying to get a raise. And it's not just about us standing on the shoulders of our founding fathers of our country. When God says that he is placing us on his shoulders, it's us being carried just like a child, riding piggyback on a God who's doing all the walking for us. Riding piggyback on the God who saw us protest taxation in the 1700s. And he showed us a better way. So right now, we've heard in the news a lot of this different stuff. We got monuments being torn down of military generals and important people in history. But for us today, it's important to remember that the cross of Christ, the cross is the only monument in our world that can never be toppled. I read this once in a magazine. We have a subscription to the Lutheran Witness. And I read this in a recent magazine that has a lot to bear on us today. It reads, "Ever since the Declaration of Independence, America has been centered in the concept of the individual and his or her life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. In some cases, it has served us well, especially in our radical aversion from any form of tyranny. But in other cases, this concept has created an individualism that shuns any kind of community or any sense of communal well-being, including any concern for our neighbors. We are a society now that admires the rugged individual, the self-made man or woman, the courageous, self-reliant soul who pulls himself up by his or own bootstraps. At the heart of this do-it-yourself spirituality and cherished Americanism cafeteria style, have it your own way spirituality. More Americans than ever name Jesus Christ as their Savior, while fewer Americans than ever even attend a church service on a regular basis. Each of us is the judge of our own truth, the master of our own destiny, the God of our own religion. When I read that, I was like, whoa. Is that true? Is that even true of me? Have I gotten so proud of my own efforts, my own successes, that I've made myself my own God? We talk about independence, and we can't get any more American than that, right? That's a good thing. Without the tenacity of our first American colonists, we would continue to be at the mercy of a dictating monarchy. Independence was a good thing for America in that respect. But for us as Christians, independence can be one of the worst things for us as people. Independence for Christians has more to do than just national tyranny or world trade. When Christians are independent, it can leave us hopelessly to ourselves, you see. And that's not good, because when we rely on our self-reliance, guess what? There isn't any room for anybody else in our life. Today, or maybe this weekend, you might have heard this familiar song. We maybe usually have heard it during baseball games, but we can't have baseball games right now. So think about that song, God Bless America. We didn't sing it today, but how does that happen? And what about the other nations of the world? Does God bless them too? How does God bless America? In our Lutheran church tradition, we realize and we call the gifts of God the means of grace. We witness today the means, the instrument that God gives us, the benefit of Jesus' death and resurrection. It's his way of giving to us his gift. Just like today, and at this altar, and in your seats, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, it's a means of God giving us his forgiveness in his own particular way. So when we sing God Bless America, what are the means that God's doing it? It's through you. God blesses America not by him raining down from heaven with angels and chariots and doing the work, but you are God's means of his grace. You bless America through your families, through your actions in the world, in our community. You become a shoulder for another person to bear their burdens. And all of a sudden, when we do that, our independent world becomes a little better because of you. God blesses America through you, as he has already blessed us with the life that he has given. So when Christians are independent, it can leave us hopelessly to ourselves. And that's not good, because when we rely on self-reliance, there isn't room for anybody else, especially God. So today, remember that the simple fact is that we are dependent on God and one another for everything. And it's hopefully dependent. It's not only just us true as Christians, but us as Americans. So yes, being proud and thankful for this country is not a bad thing. We should be proud. Even in a world that we've made today, you should be proud, especially this year. Patriotism is not a bad thing, but it shouldn't be the only thing. For those of us who seek these genie promises of wealth, health, and happiness, we know that God remains good all the time, God remains just all the time. God remains kind all the time, even when these prayers aren't answered in our life. The cross of Christ is the declaration of independence, all we need. So with that, we say once more that God is good all the time, and all the time. So may God bless America through you today, and may God bless your families and this community through you as freed and forgiven people. May you be a shoulder for another to bear their burdens. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.